118, the Wajaji Youth Council. And we have be bringing that up on the screen, Mr. Johnson.
Keep moving.
Yep.
Get it out on that phone.
Congressman Shackelford. All right, we've got some new numbers that came in from the earlier budget. We're looking at the September 14th budget. And we've got tribal dollars, and Mr. Shackelford, if you'd be so kind to identify yourself for all of our listening audience and your position, and we'll talk about your program.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Anthony Shackelford, I'm the director of the convention program for the Osage Nation.
All right. Thank you for being here and being able to represent your program. We're looking at a proposed budget of... Whoop, wait a minute. There's another budget, is that right?
We need the one from 914, apparently, is that right?
Right.
Yeah, 914, September 14th. It's this budget. Okay, here we go. Much better.
Sorry.
Had my breath there for a minute.
Changed my approach there.
All right, we have $50,000 of tribal money, and that's an increase of $38,500, and da-da-da-da, and we've got, just behalf of our committee, enlighten us, please. What's going on here with our dollars and cents?
Well, Mr. Mason, kind of go back a little bit in history. Whenever we originally were granted this youth council last year, they bounced around with several programs throughout the nation, three or four to my recollection. And eventually they landed in our lap, which probably is what they should have been in the first place, considering a large percentage of our work happens in the schools. So we wanted to work with these youth. Consideration that the Congress and the Chief had passed a resolution recognizing their existence and gave them a little more of a standing, I think, as far as having spoken with some of the youth, their belief that we care. You know, we care to hear their voices, we care to see them and feel what they feel. Like I was speaking with Mr. Mason earlier, you know, whenever you're working with youth, I said, if there's a magic formula that I could tell my six-year-old son to not do certain things in life, whether it's, you know, I mean, developing good life skills, whether it's to tell a teenager to come in before the curfew bell hits, or to not drink, to not do drugs, to stay alive, those kinds of things, the kind of things that our program deals with on a daily basis. And we're not a treatment therapy program, we're prevention. And so we try to get out to the schools, we train the teachers, we train the students, we train the janitors, whoever's going to be show up there that play a part in the child's life throughout the day. Or so the way we figured out, like I was talking with Mr. Mason, is that telling them once just doesn't do it. You know, I have to tell my son 50 times not to order movies on my phone. And he's 6 years old, and he's figured out my code, and I change it, and he figures it out now, and he's smarter than his dad, which is maybe not saying a whole lot, but he is. And so, again, that's the repetition, the sustaining, the continuum of care, of providing education, providing the substance to where these kids on their level. So we kind of adopted this youth council to kind of be in the forefront of our approach whenever we're in the middle of immersion. We're working with immersion right now, trying to make the crosswalk safe up there. I think there's a movement in place where they're going to maybe get some speed signs and they're going to lower the speed zones through there. They're going to do some more visible crosswalks. We had stop signs, things like that. If things went through the budgetary process, we're going to be up there in the mornings from 7:30 until 8:30, and then from 4 to 4:30 to stop, slow down. We've already got the signs from roads. And so there were some things that we promised the executive that we would do as far as helping secure the safety of the kids in that area, and the adults too. You know, it could be any child. It doesn't necessarily have to be kids in the immersion. You know, there's other kids in part of this community. And so in light of that, so we teach these kids through mentoring. We've identified several members of our staff of seven, me included in that seven, to work exclusively with kids throughout the communities, whether it's Fairfax, Pawnee. Right now, we're doing a lot of crisis intervention protocols in Pawhuska and Winona. We've got meetings, attended meetings set up through the junior high principal in Hominy. We've been contacted by Fairfax, representative of the Fairfax school. They want us to come over there and they want to look at some of our protocols. So it's not like in the old days, whenever we were in school, we go there and we hear something once a year, you know, at an assembly and things like that. We want to be able to, like, again, to train the teachers and the people that are a trusted source in these kids' lives to be able to sustain the message that we bring there. And training them, we understand that there's certain resiliency factors that they can, you know, present to these kids. There's protective factors, like I was speaking with Archie about, as far as doing safe events, snap, like fifth quarter after the football games are over with, providing them a safe environment, pizzas, games, things like that, you know, movies. It's just sprinkle some of that with some culture, with the immersion, the language, and all those things like that. All those things together as a nation sets a good example for this youth council to see that essentially we care. And that's kind of what we do in a nutshell. I mean, I consider we can talk until dark on a lot of this stuff, but with the youth council, that's primarily what we do. And again, they're just kind of a resource for us to get out into the public with working with families and things like that. But at the same time, we're hopefully teaching them valuable lessons that's going to carry them through in life.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Did you rewrite a plan for them too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Because I only have one question about the entire budget.
Okay.
I think everything looks good now, but I want to know about the community event materials for the youth council. I can see your program needing event materials, but why is that in the youth council's budget?
A lot of the events that they do with us, with our budgets, there's, like this one here, there's no indirect cost money taken out. There's no space cost taken out. Everything goes directly to the youth. And so what we found out in some of our, when we first inherited this council, is that a lot of the meetings we'd have, three kids would show up, five kids would show up. And we were trying to figure out how can we connect with them to get them to show up, to hear our message, for us to be able to use them to go into the schools and pass our word along to the other kids. And so what we found out is that it takes incentives, whether it's t-shirts, whether it's buying a pizza, not going to my Holiday Prime Steakhouse in Tulsa, but buying an $11 pizza down at Simple Simons. You know, we're buying 20 of them at $12 a piece. We'll turn a meeting, you know, happening at a fifth quarter from five kids to 75 and even over 100 kids. You know, whenever Congressman Tillman was the coach, he'd come down there and he'd see the things that we'd have it blocked off. There'd be a certain age group that we'd invite there. We don't allow them just to let the parents drop the kids off. We require the parents to be there. So they get part of the message too. So it's just a sustainability approach. So a lot of the things that we do require money. At one time, we went into the communities and we done community readiness assessments, kind of like what you guys done at the clinic, and seeing what the community was wanting, seeing what they were needing, what they were lacking. And what we found out is that one of the big things that even the adults wanted was they liked the youth powwow. Our youth powwow, we usually serviced over 700 people, with probably two-thirds of them being youth. And it's just teaching them, like I was speaking with Congressman Mason earlier about how culture plays a significant role in what we do here. All Indian tribes kind of share it throughout Indian country. You know, there's a certain things you do, your food, your family, dancing, songs, and things like that. So it develops responsibility. It develops a life skill to where something that it's a resiliency and a protective factor. So if they're at a powwow, they're doing their arena director, they're the head man dancer, they're the head lady dancer, things like that. We tend to believe that by doing things like that is going to keep them engaged in positive type things, as opposed to, like you know, Congressman Bigelow and I talked about whenever we were running the streets, you know, when we were kids, you know, back in the 70s. I mean, it was a different world back then. It's definitely a different world today. So, again, it's as part of supporting their activities. There's a lot of things that they do throughout the year. And oftentimes, whenever you're trying to be dependent upon grant money, you're really hamstrung. There's just certain things you just can't do with the grants. I mean, everything's predetermined. So in order for us to free up and be able to provide a broader range of services to more kids and families and have that engagement and things like that, then we felt like that it was pertinent for us to be able to ask for some money there. And in lieu of the fact that we, our original budget was close to $260,000, and we dropped it to $210,000, and our grants are picking up the rest of it in kind, we were hoping that it would be satisfactory to the congressional approval that it's for the kids. It's not for anything else. It's just for their activities. There's not any salaries coming out of it, indirect costs, space costs, insurance. Nothing's coming out of it. It's all things going toward the kids. Thank you.
Speaker Walker.
So the $50,000 here is our in-kind contribution?
No. No. Okay. That's what we're asking for, the tribal dollars.
Okay. We see an in-kind in the grant. Is there another budget coming?
Yeah, there should be. There's MSPI, Native Connections, and then we got another one for $500,000. It's another SAMHSA grant. And $500,000, that's a significant amount of money, but it's not like we're going to get that amount of money that we're just going to be able just to spread it out where we want. You know, right off the top, $100,000 comes off for indirect costs. There's certain requirements that we've agreed to with this funding agency where we're going to, we've identified three different schools, we're going to go in there and do certain things with them. And a lot of times schools don't want you in there. For whatever reason, you're coming in to talk about suicide, you're coming in to talk about drugs and bullying, things like that. Well, we don't have those problems. And I said, that's our point. We want you to continue not having those problems. And here's what we're willing to do, whether it's to help, you know, have the kids, you know, having more events at the school, certain things that the teachers, if they need to be paid to go to certain trainings where they can identify factors where red flags pop up before a child does bring a gun into the school, certain things like that. You know, so we're trying, again, the prevention, we're trying to stay ahead of the curve as much as possible. And these grants are the things that are the bridge that's going to allow us to do that. But again, a lot of the things that we do, we're tied by the grants too, it restricts us. So that's why we're asking for the tribal dollars.
Any other questions from the committee regarding our tribal dollars for this Prevention Wajaji Youth Council program?
I have a couple of questions. How many children do you have in the youth council?
Right now, we have 30, right around between 25 and 30, as far as really active. And that's something else, too. We try to have our meetings, monthly meetings, once a month. There are certain times whenever, like the Taco Championship and other things like that, we were asked by the executive office to do the sovereignty ballot. They allowed us to do the concessions there where we, you know, raise money to kind of offset some of the things the kids are wanting to do. So we're trying to help them develop, learn how to do a business plan, a business model, and showing up and counting money and did a lot of things that some of them really don't understand how to do right now because a lot of them are pretty young. So, I mean, again, it's just we do those things to help develop them at least capacity-wise.
Okay. You have another question. Please continue.
Okay. So what did you say about active? How many?
Well, probably active ones, probably 25 to 30. But again, that's
like that are signed up.
Yeah.
And then.
Because the one thing that was really a big thing for them is that they all wanted to go to that unity conference. They wanted to go to the mid-year conference.
Right.
And so, and that's, I mean, that's a big thing for a lot of them, and it should be. You know, right. It allows them to be around 500 and some of other tribes, unity, you know, members of other tribes, but yet. And the year that we've had it, we wanted to make sure that there's not make it so far that they couldn't accomplish a lot of things. So we set up more things like this week on Saturday, when I get all the junk out of my truck, we're going to go out to the senior circle. We're going to haul off all, some of the members of the youth council and their leader, John Little. We're going to go up there and we're going to haul off, not trash, but things that the elders have been wanting to get rid of for years. And one of the elders commented the other day, said, no one's ever done that for us. I said, we're going to. So that's the kind of thing we're trying to instill in these young people is that community involvement is really a big thing in the unity message. so that's some of the things we're doing. And there's a free dump day this weekend in Pawhuska, so it's allowing us to dump that stuff, me having to pay $10 or $20 out of my pocket every time we dump the load. And then if everything goes through on the budgets, and then we're going to be targeting Homley and Fairfax and some of the other communities throughout the course of the year and do the same thing for these people. And so, again, identifying, you know, their needs, doing some care packages for the kids, whether it's jackets and things like that. We're really trying to instill in these kids, giving back to the community, not just showing up to a meeting and thinking that the tribe's going to be able, they're going to be able to go to a conference and have fun. They're going to learn. But there's also some steps involved before they get to that point. It's based on a point system and it makes them responsible. And that's what we're trying to do for them.
Okay, last question was, I don't see, you mentioned fundraisers. And we got into a situation last year where I had to do a bill for like, I don't know.
$750. Shut up. And that's the part on there. If you scroll back down, there's a line in there for $2,000.
I was going to say in the thousands, but okay, it was $700 and something. But
I think one time you guys had.
But I just want to make sure that we have you've allowed for that.
Yeah, but scroll back down. There's a line toward the bottom. It's $2,000 right there. Yeah. Youth Council Business Development Supplies. That allows us to buy hamburger meat and flour and things like that if we want to cook tacos or fry bread and things like that, you know, chili. So last year, I mean, we invested $700 and made like $2,100 back.
Wait, but does that allow, that's an appropriation. Is that going, where's to allow for donations?
It goes back into the fund. And then during the course of the year, we can work with Casey.
So that's okay to set it up like
Mr.
that?
Mr. Johnson?
I think what Congresswoman Pratt is saying is if you scroll all the way to the top, again, a budget's a projection. That money would have to go into like program. So if you're going to do a fundraiser and you think you're going to make $2,000, that $2,000 needs to go up there.
Right, that's all I'm saying. That's why we got into that situation where I had to do a $700-something appropriation because the money needs to be.
Okay.
You can't spend it unless it's appropriate.
Right, so your fundraiser is a piece. I don't know, you guys know, from one fundraiser alone, you got like $800, $700, $800. So just maybe allow for more and then you'll need to put that in a different line.
Yeah, put it in programming.
Tasha? If they were doing a fundraiser, they put it in the program line?
Because I forgot the discussion we had. I know you helped us out with that, but.
Yeah, that would be fine.
So.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, I didn't want us to get into that situation, so I want to
I'm at this end of the table. What did she say? What was their answer?
Said that would be fine, but there's a couple of issues there. Like one, it's donation, so it needs to be. But then, it's program income, and it's a hairy situation with that because other programs who take in. Am I speaking correctly, Ms. Law? When they get there, they can't just turn around and send it. Am I right there?
That's right.
All right. So that would be allowing the youth council to do that, but is it okay to call it a donation and be different, or how does that work?
It's program.
You just put it in program income, and it really doesn't matter what, if it's a donation or if they bought something or you know, if they've sold a car wash or whatever, you're bringing in income
right.
in some form.
Okay, but I think the sticking
only way to
point
spend
was
it
other programs cannot do that, but then at the same time, when you do a fundraiser, because you're going to do them, then that's what the situation you get in. Okay, just wanted to be sure that we're going to do this right.
Yep, thank you.
So noted. Committee, any other questions regarding this particular budget?
So if we make that adjustment, do we need to wait on a new budget? Or if they drop it to 48 and put 2, can it go through with that adjustment?
Yes, ma'am.
Or do we need, what we'll do is
Anthony can go back, change the tribal dollars to 48, put 2,000 in program, and just leave everything else the same, and it should be good to go.
We can approve it today and go on, or do we have to wait for it?
You can say that it's been.
Until he does a new budget, bottom line.
Well, We'll have one back here tomorrow, first thing in the morning.
The bottom line's not going to change.
Right.
No, that's not going to change.
It's just where the money's going to be placed.
An option, what others might be, is go ahead and say you've reviewed the section so that you move it on, doesn't have to be put on it, but, and then you can put in the committee report that with the intent of them bringing it by a certain date or something like that.
Bring it tomorrow?
Yes.
If you want it, that's just a suggestion.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Okay, have you got it?
Nope.
She doesn't have it. Because a stipulation in that motion.
Are you, oh, never mind.
Reviewed and accepted with the changes recommended.
Stipulation in that motion.
Stipulation.
We have reviewed it. What time can we have it?
Let's scrap that out right there. That would make it a lot easier.
All right.
Because a lot of times we just, it's having dragging guys back in here for doing things like that, it's just.
Right, and I wasn't trying to be difficult, I'm just saying I don't want to catch flack for bringing it.
No, that's appropriate, because if it's down there as a tribal dollar and they make $2,000, it's now a $52,000 budget and they can't spend the $2,000, because that $2,000 would not have been appropriated, so we would have to come back here and ask if we could spend the money.
Okay, let me see if this is going to work. So, I make the motion to show the budget from section 118, Wajaji Youth Council, has been reviewed and accepted with the stipulation that the budget submitted is amended to show tribal dollars at $48,000, program dollars at $2,000.
And adjust totals accordingly.
And adjust.
Well,
no, there's no total adjustment. If they do it that way.
The total's going to stay the same.
Yeah, if they were to add it, then it would change.
They're going to move it from the bottom up to program. So they have to move it from. Oh.
The 2,000 stays in the bottom because that's what you're going to spend it on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The 2,000 is subtracted from the 50 and it's 48. You put 2,000 in program, nothing else changes. That's the only two numbers in the bottom.
Three.
I moved. So is that when you
second?
Motion's been made and seconded.
Wait. You said ONCA 1848. You didn't say section 118.
Section 118.
Oh, I said 128, I think. Section 118. Yeah. Section 118, Wajaji Youth Council, to let the minutes show that it's been reviewed and accepted with the stipulation that the budget submitted is amended to show tribal dollars at $48,000, program dollars at $2,000. Show revenue, amended to show revenue at, I'll put that in there, revenue at.
Under revenue, tribal revenue at 48,000 and program revenue at 2,000.
At 2,000.
There you go.
Got it.
Second?
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. We're going to move on to section 81, that's prevention, the MSPI program, and we've got new numbers on that. I do. Dated September the 14th. We're looking at federal dollars at $295,551. Mr. Shackelford is here to represent the program. That's program 212. Mr. Shackelford, could you go through that for us, please? Enlighten this.
Yes, Mr. Mason, this is the Methamphetamine Suicide Prevention Initiative grant. Again, the numbers were consistent with the award. The only thing that we had to make some adjustments on once with another grant that had come in, we had to change some of the level of effort on percentages as far as the director and the data research specialist and the prevention specialist. The reason being is that we identified those people in the new grant that was coming in, and so we didn't want to show that those particular positions were over, like, for instance, on the budget, we're at 150%, that kind of thing, as far as level of effort of the money, so we had to make those adjustments accordingly to where they pulled out to one full-time employee at 100%, make sure that all the numbers jive. And again, the plan, nothing like that really changed. There's just a few things that we adopted, but of course, it's not the other one here, it'd be the other one that will reflect the changes as far as the annual plan is concerned, but everything here stayed pretty.
Committee, have you any questions of these federal dollars coming into the Osage?
It's going to need to be amended. The merit bonus.
Mm-hmm. Speaker Walker.
The merit bonus is in here, and that's not consistent with how we've been processing other budgets, even with the federal dollars.
Say the question again.
Yeah, we have a concern, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Potts is going to.
Mr. Potts?
The concern, thank you, Mr. Chair. The concern was about the merit being in here.
How it appears in this program versus others.
It's backed out of every budget. If you were to adopt this without making that calculation, we'll have to change it in appropriations to be consistent. But it's backed out of every budget, even though it appears in the support documentation.
So you're suggesting the solution be what?
I don't know that I was offering a solution. I was just clarifying.
Speaker Walker.
We could do the same thing as we did last time.
Oh, yeah.
The stipulation. The merit bonus be backed out of the budget and resubmitted.
Ms. Stabler. Mr. Johnson.
Quick question. Every budget we submitted looks this way, right?
Yes.
Right. And then you guys backed out the $2,003, right? I mean.
That's what it's going.
I don't think
Mr. Potts. I think we're still bumping this around a bit. We just need clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, the Workforce Pay for Performance Act requires that merit be budgeted separately,
right,
not in the operating. So, yes, all budgets, I believe, were submitted with merit if they had salaries and wages and were available for merit. All of those amounts have been backed out,
right,
and are accounted for in the merit.
Ms. Stabler had it, and then...
That's where I was going. I was going to ask that question. And so when those get backed out and go over to the merit bill, are they going out of the merit bill with this budget number attached to each line, or these totals will have to be adjusted back to $2,003? I mean, budgeted to include the $2,003 that we're backing out.
It's been the total. It's
the total.
Not specific. Which budget.
Okay.
Yeah, because we haven't done that in any committee.
Ms. Lemon has it.
Right, that was my point.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we haven't. Any of the budgets.
Excuse me, Ms. Lemon has floor, sir.
Oh, we haven't. We can't hear.
What?
We haven't moved it out, RJ, of any of them from the meeting here because of the pay for performance, like Congressman Potts did say, we haven't had them do any amendments or anything. We've just been doing it this way, and then they got the totals for the pay for performance merit.
That'll be reflected in the NOMCA 1848.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson, recognizing you at this time, sir.
Oh, no, that's all I was.
Oh, okay.
I was agreeing.
Committee, any other questions? Movements? Ms. Lemon?
Go ahead.
Ms. Stabler?
Yeah. Thank you.
Chair to entertain the motion and movement on however you'd like to present this and move it out. Ms. Stabler.
Make a motion that section 118 of ONCA 1848 Prevention MSBI be noted in the minutes.
Nope. 81.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Section 81.
81. Okay, section 81.
Let the minutes reflect that it has been reviewed and approved by the committee.
Second.
And I hear a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Motion passes, and it will be reflected that this committee has reviewed Section 81. Moving on to Section 82, Prevention Native Connections. We've got new, I have new numbers, September the 14th. We have federal dollars into this particular program of $200,000, federal monies. So fortunate to have Mr. Shackelford with us here to enlighten us on this program.
Yes, Mr. Mason, again, it's very similar to the previous budget. The only changes were level of efforts within my position, within the social marketing coordinator's position, and within the data research specialist position. Everything else is pretty much the same.
Speaker Walker.
Better wait for a clerk if we're going to make a motion, haven't we?
Madam Clerk, who are you? Otis. Andale, muchacho.
Your head up.
She was smooth. I didn't hear her leave. You're back. Sorry. We're getting ready to make a motion.
Okay.
Don't leave.
Make a motion that the committee has reviewed and accepted Section 82 of ONCA 1848.
Okay. Do I hear a second? I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Motion passes. Section 82 has since been reviewed. Moving right alongly. Section 7, that's 477 self-governance. And somewhere I'm going to stop here because we have another new, well, it's a new program come in here that goes into prevention, as, and I don't know where to put it. It doesn't have a number on it. It says new. It's a prevention SPF PFS. What is that?
You would have to ask. It's Prevention Strategic Planning Framework. It's basically, it's a grant to target underage drinking.
Okay, I don't have it on our agenda. However, it's a part of what we have just completed. So without objections, let's go ahead and review this. And it is federal dollars of $500,000, And you just heard the title referenced here by Mr. Shackelford. Just a quick rundown on this particular federal program.
Yes, sir. Committee, this is something that I need to offer my apologies, I think, from the first meeting that was scheduled. I didn't get a chance to come in, and I was trying to think of a creative reason why I missed, and again, I apologize.
You don't have one.
I think I'm getting older. I think maybe I can lean toward that. I was going to blame my dad, but I don't think I better do that. But as it turned out, it was kind of a fortuitous thing that instead of having to in front of the committee asking for $238,000, a $2.5 million grant landed in our lap. And very ecstatic, to say the least. You know, it's a lot of stress, you know, moving year in and year out, you know, trying to sustain our efforts. But do a lot of good training and persistence and things like that, you know, collaborating with grants management. And those kinds of things, we managed to land a very good. SAMHSA is one of the harder grants to apply for in the behavioral health world as far as tribal dollars. And we landed a couple of them. You know, the last couple of years we've operated the Circle of Care grant and the Native Connections grant, or SAMHSA grants. This is another one, and there's another one coming up next year that we're planning on applying for. So this is something that it was the cause for us to be able to go back into the other budgets. Adjust, make the adjustments on the numbers, and then led to the point where it allowed us to not have to ask for any kind of tribal money for any positions. Tribal positions, those kinds of things like that, helps with the space cost and direct cost. I mean, all the things that we don't ask for in the youth council budget that we were going to have to ask for, don't have to now. And again, this is something that allows us to keep a full staff in place to kind of preface. Archie will appreciate this. There's a great leader. He was a Papa Lakota. One of the things that he said many years ago was, let's put our minds together and see what we can do for our children. His name was Sidney. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here today. And whenever we go for that money from the federal dollars, yeah, in the perfect world, we don't want to have to ask the government for money. But we understand in order for us to provide services for 20,000 Osages, in particular here across the reservation, the service area, it's necessary. And it's not easy. And it's stressful at times. Last week, we were thinking we didn't know what the decision was going to be here. We had positions that may have gone away. But thankfully, things come around and good thoughts prevailed and hard work prevailed. So, again, this is something that's going to allow us to target our underage kids to, again, continue our prevention message, that sustainability of our program, message for our kids, all the way from wheel age all the way up through college age. Mm-hmm. So it's addiction, things like that, doesn't just stop whenever we graduate from high school or things like that. It continues on. And so that's our approach. And we figured the earlier that we can make our imprint on these children's lives, the better off they're going to be as far as productive adults. And one of the things I was talking to my wife about, I said, sometimes, as a new parent, the last 6 years of my life, we want to live our lives for our kids, and we know that we can't do that. But the one thing that we can do is that we can prepare them for life, and that's what my program does. Thank you.
Thank you. Just want to acknowledge to the committee, I don't know if you have this in hand, Kurt gave it to me. This is a notice of the award. And the budget period is 9/30/2018 to 9/29/2019. Project period is 9/30/2018 to 9/29/2023. So it's an ongoing kind of 5-year program. Ms. Lehman. And then Ms. Stabler.
She was first.
She was first? Ms. Stabler and then Ms. Lehman.
I had a question about one of your line items just for description. You have a scroll on down, it's a sub-awards.
The $60,000,
you tell me what that is.
Yeah, I prefaced a little bit earlier when we were going to the schools. In order to kind of let us get into the schools and be able to work with the staff and the kids and things like that, it's like dangling a carrot. We had an instance in one of the schools out in the western part of the county that we got a call that there was some bullying issues going on. And so whenever we approached the superintendent and or the principal, his response was, we don't have a bullying problem. And I said, I understand that, sir. And I said, I'm sure you want to keep it that way. So this is why we're here offering these resources and these tools and things like that. So a lot of times, whenever you approach the administrators, even the school boards, some of the schools, they've adopted some of our crisis protocols for suicide prevention. And we're very proud of that. That's a tough thing to do whenever you're working with a school that services all different kinds of ethnicities and minorities. And so the $60,000 allows us to potentially go into a school and identify a problem. And if they have a need for certain teachers to be trained in working with kids that are at risk for drugs and alcohol and suicide, then we can send them to certain training, or we can bring trainers in at no cost to the schools, which gets us in and helps us, spend the government's money in a sound way, which is how we listed it whenever we applied for it. And I think it's one of the reasons why this grant was very specific in that you're directed from SAMHSA to work with schools and communities. And so that's why that money is there.
Ms. Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the professional fees, the lead evaluator and the TA. Could you tell me about that?
Yes. The lead evaluator, a lot of times some of the funding agencies, they'll provide you with an evaluator through their services. Mm-hmm. But we've identified a couple of PhDs within the state of Oklahoma. One lady is a full-blood Kiowa. and she's worked with some Osages in the past, and she's very, she lives in Oklahoma, so it makes it easier for her to come in as opposed to the guy who comes in from D.C. once every 3 months or over the phone. And so we target where she comes up. We can identify her contract, whether it's once a week, twice a month, things like that. We can send her certain things with the grants that, to be honest, may be above our grade level as far as understanding this, you know, as far as some of it goes into a little bit of in-depth working with the kids. You know, we're stuck sitting in a PhD and a social work background. So, again, she kind of keeps us, if there's a question that we have and we're kind of getting out, you know, getting close to some certain areas that we don't understand, it's always good to have someone there that's been there before, in particular on the Circles of Care grant. She was on the very first Circles of Care grant in 1975. We were fortunate enough to land her with ours, and ours was like the seventh or eighth cohort, which is over 3 years. And so she had all that experience, and she's a phone call away, or if she needs to come up to my husband, she'll come up. So again, that's what the $50,000 is. And the technical advice is that we have certain things we're working with, logic models, whenever you're going into the program year, to try to keep you on track as far as the percentages of people that you're serving throughout the communities. And if there's certain things that, whether you need a formula worked out, or you need a different kind of approach as far as the technical aspects of going into and measuring the outcomes, because going in, there's certain things that you like, givers and things like that, mm-hmm. The technical advisor comes in really handy on that kind of thing. And again, some of the grant services provide for this, but it's always nice to have that. And the one of the grants we're in right now, the Native Connections grant, if it's a 5-year grant, I'll brag on my staff. They've done such a good job in the first 3 years that the granting agency said, you guys don't need TA anymore. And still, it's set up to the last 2 years. And that's the kind of thing that we want. We got a hold of it and we understood it early on where the TA is not necessary. But starting off on a new grant, it's always nice to get started off on the right foot.
Okay, I have just a couple more.
Please.
Thank you. So it's a 5-year grant.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's $500,000 every year.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it's focus is to focus on underage drinking prevention.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, but stay with me.
I noticed in your program plan, one of them, I think it was this one, I'm pretty sure it was this one, that in your plan 21 times you mentioned the assistance of CHRs in your program, and yet scroll down a little bit. And so we have to do these for the grants to show the percentage, like you said, of the labor time that goes into the grants through this staff and stuff. So we have a program now that's lost dollars. And so I guess my question is, you've got additional labor that goes to these projects, so they're not listed here. I guess what I'm trying to say, is there a way to support them, support the CHRs mm-hmm. through this grant?
Sure, and we do that a lot. It's just collaboration with like their activities. If they have certain things that they're doing that we can assist them on.
You're talking about labor, I'm talking about financial assistance.
No, there won't be any of that. I mean, if we would have listed it in the beginning of the grant application that we were going to be, but the grants are pretty specific. You know, they have a certain, you know, we've identified certain needs. But one of the things we work with on our annual planning with the executive's office is that we agreed to be in full support with the CHR office and the community health office because we're more similar than we are dissimilar to some of the things that we do. So a lot of their stuff is really geared towards nutrition and health and things like that. And ours is raising awareness and education as far as, you know, the prevention part of it. So again, like going in and doing home visits and things like that, CHRs, that's what they do. We don't do that kind of thing. Ours is more, you know, raising awareness in the schools. But again, we support all programs that work with WIC. Whenever someone reaches out to us and wants some help, we said, yeah, sure. It's all about raising awareness, and it gives us an added opportunity to get our presence known out there too. It's not just our events. I can send it down to Shannon tomorrow and give you a chance to have it checked in. But we've got hours and hours and hours. You know, up to like 40,000 to 50,000 hours of actual time that we put in throughout the year, contact with the community, and how we come up with those numbers is that we have 7 people in our staff, and we. We're at 50 different events throughout the year that we calculate however many hours that day we're at that event times 7, and we start getting those astronomical numbers. But yet, again, we found out through prevention science, even like doing billboards and things like that, if you have 190,000 cars going by the casino a day, there's no guarantee that 190,000 people are seeing it, but you're providing the ability to the TA and the tools for them to at least have access to it. And that's a big part of Mission Science.
Committee, any other questions? Ms. Lemon.
I just make the motion that we've reviewed and the minutes to reflect that we reviewed and accepted the prevention SPF-PFS. That was a no. Sorry.
You're here, second.
Second for discussion.
Speaker Walker.
Is it in ONC 1848 yet? Wouldn't be, would it?
Oh, it can't be then.
We've got a meeting set up with Grants Monday to go over some things, but as far as working out our budgets and things like that, I mean, nothing's going to change there. It's more just compliance things that we're working with Grants on. As far as the process of how it gets to this point, it's basically.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Stabler.
Should we put this through as a separate bill?
No.
No?
Think so.
Let's go through executive. It has to be an executive one.
Speaker Walker.
Madam Clerk, what was the motion?
To show that the budget title has been reviewed and accepted.
Just withdraw.
Okay, we just need to note in the minutes that the that whenever all of the budgets that we reviewed in this committee, there needs to be some sort of footnote that this needs to be added once these budgets get to the appropriation committee. It needs to be amended into ONC 18.
Mm-hmm. It's not identified in our
with
list,
the section
is what
number.
We're saying.
Right.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. We're saying.
Okay, let's.
Wait a minute. Is that where you're going right there?
Want to withdraw?
Yes, I withdraw the motion.
Okay. How about?
Do you want to include that budget name in that list of all the section numbers at the very end? How the committee has been sending that back to the appropriations?
I do. It just needs to, we need to make sure that this one is separated or it is identified that it's not in ONCA 1848 and it's going to have to be amended into the total appropriation bill.
Okay, maybe two motions.
So, how about motion that the committee has reviewed and accepted prevention SPF-PFS and the program budget needs to be amended into ONCA 1848 by the Appropriations Committee. And I appreciate you writing that down for me. It's not your job.
Is that to note that it's federally funded? Or we're not talking tribal dollars?
I think once it gets to the
appropriation.
Once it gets there, yeah, we'll review the budget.
So we have reviewed and accepted prevention SPF FPS, and the program budget needs to be amended and to be amended into ONCA 1848 by the Appropriations Committee.
Yes.
It's PFS.
PFS.
Do we have a second?
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
And motion passes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Hmm?
You bet. Okay, committee, we're going on into section 7. That's 477 self-governance, and that's federally funded. Ms. Oberle, you want to join us? Is she here?
Yes, she's here. She was here. Yeah, she's here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
just want to go get an office up here.
I know.
Oh, yeah. We want to talk about your self-governance. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. If you recall, I believe both of these budgets have been before y'all before.
Yes.
And the question was the tribal budget pertaining to this little group and why there was a tribal budget for IDC. And we asked Ms. Fox to come today to better explain the IDC.
Okay. Ms. Fox, please, enlighten us. And before you go any further, I want to make sure that everyone on the committee, including myself, understands why we're continuing discussion on this particular bill. I'm the chair, but I need to be enlightened and reminded. Speaker Walker, what do we do? Why are we doing this again?
It's right here.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Have employee salaries under direct services, which is below the line.
Okay. The second budget, the tribal budget.
That was a question to need clarification.
And then there's a second budget that's a tribal budget that takes up the IDC for those.
So in essence, we are continuing discussion on Section 7 and Section 8.
Yes.
So we're going to wrap this, bundle the two budgets into one discussion?
That'll
it's
work.
The same.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So they have the admin cap, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So once they have capped, we cannot collect any more IDC. But the IDC programs, for example, HR, accounting, IT, we're all still performing a function for them beyond that cap. So if there's a need for us, this is how we all get paid, is IDC. So we need to budget and collect. We need to continue to collect that IDC so that they can continue to provide those services. So I don't know that this has always been done, but if we have an IDC deficit, it will in turn be picked up by tribal dollars anyways. So I think it's a better practice and a better management aspect to just nip it in the bud now, have a budget, and collect all the IDC that should be collected. Does that make sense?
We'll find out.
Okay.
One moment. Ms. Staber.
Okay, so really we're talking about this bottom line right here, the 172,479?
No.
Or which figure are we looking at?
It's the second budget.
The second budget.
The tribal budget.
Yeah,
it's just strictly IDC.
Yes, that's,
oh, yes.
That's the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So that's the reason.
Yes, ma'am. That's the IDC that's not collected on the direct service employees. But they're still performing the functions, is the point.
How was it done before, Ms. Fox?
Go ahead. You'd know better.
Before we had them, the IDC, taken out under direct services, but when we had our program review this year, that was going to be a finding. We had to back those out. They said it was unallowed. So therefore, this was the new solution, since the funding agency said, absolutely not, you have to stop doing that practice. So this was the solution to still grab those IDC dollars, but not be out of compliance with 477.
Chairman, can you describe that practice one more time, please?
Okay, there's still a little bit of remnants to it, but whenever we had them all listed in the direct service group, what we would do is, for each of those positions, we would spell out, this is how much their salary is, this is how much their fringe is, and this is how much the IDC cost is. We'd add all those together and put it on that line. So we were charging IDC from direct services, and we were collecting them that way in last year's budget. That's how we did it.
To your left.
To your left.
Now to your right. The fourth one.
Nope.
That. Yes.
There. Turn yourself around.
I thought we pulled it up once.
So you were told that we could not do that with federal dollars.
Right. If you see, because again, we didn't clean it all up because we found this out, pretty late in our turn. So right there in their director, see how it's got wage and fringes, benefits, and then we had the actual IDC. Well, that IDC amount got taken out because it's all now in that second budget, because the funding agency told us we absolutely cannot take it out of those direct services.
Okay. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. So as not to confuse everyone, because again, it's not completely clean. If you add the wages and fringe, which is 18,188, and the 4804 benefits, that's the 23,492. The 4750 right behind that IDC is now over in that other budget. This is just a scribbler's error. We didn't take everything else out. So
it's beneficial to see.
That's where those amounts come from.
So you know how.
Ms. Taylor.
Okay, I still want to talk about this list because I'm trying to match it up. So direct services, general assistance, the next one's the director showing their benefits on the side, the next one's the program coordinator showing their benefits on the side, social work case manager showing their benefits on the side, employment training coordinator showing their benefits on the side, then transportation field worker, and so what is, and then supportive services?
That's our direct service.
Well, do you have direct general assistance up there and then okay.
Right. Since we have several funding streams that come into the 477, it's a pool. However, the BIA dictates that we actually track the general assistance cash separately.
Okay.
So that's in a separate line item than all of our other direct services. Okay. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, those feds have strings. Yeah.
I'll make a motion. I'll second it.
Ms. Taylor. One moment, I think Mr. Walker's about.
He's got a pause here.
Speaker Walker, if you.
Maybe I was just. I know there was. I think it was maybe just said, but I was actually concentrating on the big screen. Why is the IDC listed in some? And some not?
Some we took out when we were cleaning it up and some we just didn't.
You missed, you mean?
Yeah.
Before you submitted it.
Right. Yeah, it's not in the totals, it's just in the description error. A couple of them didn't get back out.
So is what you're saying is this should be whited out?
Whited out.
Right.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Because it's in the other program.
Mm-hmm. 18188 plus 4804 is 22.
It gives you the, yeah.
92.
It's just the typing description we should have whited out.
Continue, Mr. Walker.
I'm comfortable passing this out just like we did earlier on a budget or two. But since this is support documentation, can we get a revised budget?
White out those two IDCs.
What do you want it to look like? Just take those things out?
Those two IDCs out.
Well, right, because the math doesn't add up. I mean.
Right, and that's why I brought it up to try to not, because it does look crazy. So yes, sir, we can do that and have it to you tomorrow.
If you did we get it? You know what day? If it's stamped, we could probably find it.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Go back to Mr. Walker, and he still has the floor.
I would just say that I know in GovOps. Or it is in GovOps with the housing stuff. This is a dispute that hasn't quite been settled. If it has, I wasn't privy to the negotiated settlement. So.
Negotiated ceasefire.
So I think it's time to kick it on out of the Health and Social Services Committee and get it to the Appropriations Committee and we'll hash it out there.
Ms. Oberle?
And that was the, I believe, the amended one that we just did a couple days ago.
I'm not back yet.
Was it for GovOps?
She's still on vacation.
Oh, okay, gotcha. But yes, just as kind of just as a reminder, refresher, we had thought that there was an IDC budget just like this for housing, and I think that's why we held it in the beginning. There wasn't because they put it in that second, their other admin mm-hmm. budget like to collect this. That. So they didn't talk about the IDC being in a separate budget. And I think that was one of the main reasons the first time we were here that we held it. But I believe we did had to do a modified budget
something
and resubmit it because Congresswoman Edwards had requested
okay,
that.
Mr. Johnson.
Right, I think the point now is, as Speaker Walker was talking about, is where are we going to put the direct service employees? Are they going to be in direct services? Or are we going to put them in, you know, somewhere else? Or I think was the point that GovOps was making. Call them something else. Frankly, I don't call them. I don't know. I don't know what ever became of that discussion. So right now, all we know is to leave it as it is.
We submitted it.
Well, right now, sir, this budget's on our table. This is our watch.
Yes, sir. I know, but I think the idea was to make everything uniform, but I don't know exactly what it's supposed to look like. So once we figure that out, we have no issue doing that.
Mr. Walker, you have a thought in there.
It should be down here, yes. That's why I'm saying this is not the latest one. We have to redo it.
I make a motion. This here, I'll write it down. Somebody tell a story, I'm gonna write a motion.
Press the recess.
Recess to the call of the chair. We're in recess. Take a break. Time out.
She's got to say.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you're thinking?